We're in a series, short series, called What Makes It Tick? What Makes It Tick? Now, what this is about is the operation of the heart. The heart. We speak about the heart. The word says the word, the heart, all through it. I think it's about 800 times. And in this understanding of the heart, we get this picture of something that's usually, we point to our chest and go where our normal, our natural heart is. But this heart is something that God has put into us to work together, and actually is where we live our whole lives out of. So the understanding of what makes our heart tick is most important, because our lives and where they are right now, for each one of us individually, are the product of our heart. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on right now in your life is the product of your heart. So don't you think that it's most important to understand what makes our heart tick, what makes it work? I'm talking about our spiritual heart. Now, our spiritual heart is our mind, right? First week we covered the mind. This area in the brain where information, I don't know how many bytes you could call it, but incredible amount. What's the largest computer amount of storage that there is right now? Whatever it is, your mind is bigger, way bigger. The amount of information that we get is incredible. And when that information comes to us, we either accept that information in, we say, okay, I'm opening the doors, come on in, or we say, no, I'm not having this. And when it goes in, the way that our mind works is we store it, we file it, this information, and we use it for some application later on. We pull it back up, we bring it forward, and we apply it someplace for something for our lives. And then the last part of this is in our minds, as we allow things in, is that as new information comes and we continue to learn, we either exchange that information with the new and the current information that we have decided is good for us or not, and we dump, we trash, or we hoard the old information. Now, this is how our minds work. This is one third of our heart. And I'll have to break this down, because the psychology, again, and the biology of our hearts, our minds, and how all this works is really pretty complex. We have to make it, and I don't know about the rest of you, I need things simple so I can make it work. I need it so I can do this, and I understand this, and this is what happens when I do this, and this is the result that I expect to see. Right? So if you don't understand how something works, how can you see the results? And let's just use it, that the word promises, that God promises, if you don't understand how your heart works. We must, as people of God, men and women of God, men and women understanding this message of God's grace, we really need to understand what makes our heart tick. So there's the mind, number one. Number two is our feelings. Remember this last week? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. That's just a song. But that's what we think about feelings. Feelings are one third of your heart. For all of us, our feelings are, this is what they are. They are our motivation. They are our belief. This is where a lot of our faith takes place. They are really the strength of our conviction. The strength of our conviction. This is what builds. Now, the mind and the information that comes in builds, feeds, and builds up our feelings one way or the other. Okay? Our feelings build. Now, this is a part of our heart. So our mind, our feelings, and then it transfers down to our will and our choices that we make through our will. The resulting product is our life. That's how it works. So we're going to talk today about the will, and the title of this message is called My Will, My Choice. That's for every single human being. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, if you would. We're going to start here. And lay the foundation for how our will and how our choices work. This is one third of our heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, speaking to Christians, having been justified by faith, or made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, through Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Access by faith into this grace where we stand, all happens, it transpires, it comes about through our heart. Everything that God has promised through Jesus. You know, we go, oh yeah, all the promises of God are mine. How come we're not living in them? This is not to be condemning. Please don't misunderstand. Why aren't we living in them? Because our heart won't let us. Because our heart is in a different direction. And when I speak about our heart, I mean our mind, our feelings, or our will and the choices that we make. They all work together. When our heart is all working together, our mind, our feelings, and our will and the choices that we make through there. Do you know there is, I mean, we walk into some stuff. This is where the promises are revealed. Things happen. Things change. Even when things come against us, our heart working together in this understanding of grace and faith and the access into it, it takes us into those promises. It shuffles us right into that prosperity and the deliverance and the healings and the gifts of the Spirit and on and on and on. The reality of who we are as a new creature in Jesus, a new person in Him. This is how this all works. So our heart is the part of us that makes the access real into this grace where we stand. Okay. The mind is the information we receive. The feelings are the strength of our conviction. Feelings are the thermostat of the emotions. So that you understand this, our emotions are controllable. Absolutely. Okay. The mind feeds and builds the feelings. The feelings direct our choices from our will to do. Now, I want to explain this. Our will, our choice. We make, every one of us, thousands of choices every day. Conscious choices, choices that we're aware of, and choices that are, you ever been on autopilot? You just do something because you've always done it? Somewhere along the line you made a choice and you're on autopilot. You're not aware of it. It's an unconscious choice, but it's a part of your history. It's a part of what you're used to. God would have us be more conscious. This is a part of this because things change. Everything isn't always routine. But the point of this is that we are aware or become aware of the decisions or the choices that we make regarding the things that we do every day. Because this is a part of our will. This is half of our will. Let's put it this way. Make it simple. Our will is the propeller that takes us in to where those choices have been made. God gave us free will. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, this is where it started. God is the promoter. And I've said this before in the past, God is pro-choice. And I don't mean the ugliness of what pro-choice means today. I'm talking about God is the author of free will. He wants us to be able to choose, Him. To be able not to choose Him if we don't want Him. To be able to choose the things that are good for us or the things that are bad for us. He said, I want you to be able to do this. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, the Lord said, after creating Adam and Eve, He said, listen, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat it, you'll die. It'll kill you. So what did Adam and Eve do? They ate the tree. They ate of the tree. They had the fruit. I'm going to bypass a lot of stuff here. They made a choice. They made a choice, and their will propelled them into taking a bite of whatever it was, whatever that kind of fruit was, and guess what? It killed them. And didn't do the rest of us any good either. Right? Okay, if you know the story, you know the event of Adam and Eve and the creation, this is really, really bare bones. But this is what happened. God gave them a choice, and they took it. And it cost them, and it costs us all. But freedom of choice never, ever, ever change. We still have a free will. The whole point of Genesis chapter 2 and 3, let me take a sidebar for a moment. This sovereignty issue, Rosie and I lived on the west side of the state at one time for a little while, and it's very religious over there in a lot of ways. And I moved there from Vegas, from Las Vegas, after living there a long time. I thought I'd died and gone to this side of heaven. There's a church on every corner. But what I didn't know was it's very Calvinistic and very religious. I was told by my neighbors not to mow my grass on Sunday. It was against the work law of working on the Sabbath. Boy, if that didn't make me want to go out and mow my lawn on a Sunday. That's a whole nother story. Okay. Calvinism teaches, and I'm just going to divest for a minute. Calvinism teaches this sovereignty, that God is the puppet master, and He's pulling all the strings, and He's saying, I choose everything for you. I choose who lives, who dies, who goes to heaven, who doesn't, who's going to be in a calamity, who is not, who's going to fail, who's going to succeed. I choose it. And I use the devil for my messenger to convey to you. That's the sovereignty, kind of the encapsulation of the sovereignty doctrine, or what's known as God is always in control of everything. And they use Job, the book of Job, a lot for this. Okay, this is all a very convoluted and twisted doctrine. Genesis chapter 2 and 3 blow this out of the water. All right? Sovereignty doctrine says you don't have a choice. You do. Every time. In everything. Your will plays a big part in this. This is your heart. This is a big part of your heart. This is God's design in us. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, and we're not going to go there. I'm just going to give you the real quick synopsis. Deuteronomy 30, 19, Moses is giving the law to Israel, and the one thing that he says is that, listen, I'm setting before you today life and death. I've given you the way to do this. I've told you all about it. I'm setting this before you, life and death. You have a choice. Choose life. In life is the blessing. In death is the curse and destruction. Choose life. Choose life. So everything will go well with you. You have a choice. Every one of us has a choice. We don't think that a lot of times. You have a choice. Choose life. Then in Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua says to Israel, you know, they've come, they've conquered in their promised land. And Joshua says to Israel, he was Moses next in line. He says, choose today who you're going to serve. You choose it. I don't choose it for you. God's not going to choose it. You choose it. As for me and my house, and this is familiar, we will serve the Lord. Okay? He made a choice. Now what this does when we make a choice is this propels us or gives traction, the traction to our will to move into, it's an action, it's really an action thing, into where God has for us. Okay? It's the propeller, again, that conveys us, conveys our choice, conveys our life into what our choice is. It's how this works in our will. Every choice that we make runs through our will. Every single one. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 5? I'm trying to synopsize my time here, so bear with me. Galatians chapter 5. I just want to read this because I want you to think about this. This is kind of a bit of a blast, but I want you to see this for how the Lord means it. Galatians 5, verse 19. Paul is speaking to the Galatians about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. He says, now the works of the flesh, verse 19, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. The first thing he does is a lot of sexually immoral stuff. Jealousies, envy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions or arguments, heresies. This heresy is the kind of teaching that is, it's ungodly, twisted teaching. Envy, murders, drunkenness and revelries, and everything that goes in line with this, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Stop. Now he's speaking to those, he's differentiating between believers and unbelievers. He's speaking about those who are born again versus those who are not born again. Okay? Those who are under the law and judged by the law, and those who are under grace and freed from that. There's a difference here. But what I want to show you is, go on to verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering or patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That is a choice. Every single one of those that I read, envy, murder, fornication, adultery, lewdness, love, joy, peace, patience, every one of those is a choice that runs through our will. Every single one. Well, it might be the devil. They're the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. They are by choice. But I've been addicted to about everything you can be addicted to before I was a believer. And even when I was a brand new believer, boy, there were some things that were tough to break. But I was trying to do it all without any understanding of grace. But God, who had already given me deliverance, which I didn't know at that time, set me free. But every addiction that I had was by my choice. Everything. I smoked a lot. And I smoked a lot of different things. And I drank a lot of stuff. And I did a lot of the immoral things. And I justified it saying I had an addictive personality. Had a little counseling then, just enough to be dangerous. So I justified it. But I want to tell you that everything that I did was a choice that went through my will and propelled me into it. It was a part of my heart working. It is the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are a choice that go through your will and propel you into what they are. That's how this works. Healing and living in health. Do you know prosperity? Do you know that those are choices that we make that work through our will to take us there? It really is this simple, but it works in tandem with our minds and our feelings, our conviction, strength of conviction, and what we have accepted in our minds. All of this, again, it works together. Living in the flesh or living in righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts, the grace, and the love of God are all choices of the will. Submitting to God, resisting the devil so that he flees is a choice. It's something we choose to do. Looking at Jesus, regardless of what the circumstances and situations are, is a choice. Living by faith is a choice. Putting on the new man or the new woman every day is a choice. It's a choice. It propels or moves or gives traction to our will to do. What is the will? The will is a firm, by definition, a firm determination to do. It's a firm determination to do, to move, to go forward, to take action. That's what our will is. That's the part that it plays in us. What is choice? Just to break it down, our choices are the decisions that we make that result in an action through our will. That makes sense? Want me to repeat it? Choice. Will, first of all, will is a firm determination to do. A firm determination to do isn't vacillating or confused. It means this is where I'm going. This is it. Choice is when I make a decision that results in an action through my will going forward, propelling it. Make more sense? Is it getting clearer? We'll keep going. It is in James 2:18, it is the realization of the works that come from us or come through our faith. The works, the actions, the part of us that says, I believe God. Here, okay, let me give you an example. I believe God to supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what I have accepted in my mind because it's a truth and it's a word of God, and I've decided that I accept it. I've made a choice. And I think about it and I pull it up and I look at it in my mind. And I bring it forward and I look at it. And it feeds and it builds how I feel, my strength of conviction, my belief. And then I make a choice not only to believe, but through my will to go forward into that, even when I don't see how this can happen in a particular situation. I go forward into it by my will. I keep going forward into what God has given me. That is a picture of my heart working together. There's a whole lot we can cover with this. I can only give you the snapshot of each one because, like I said, it's complex. The more you study it, the more confused you'll get. Unless you want to go for your doctorate, which is your choice. Okay? And that will be coming through your will. And you will pursue your schooling. And then one day you probably will understand it, maybe. But in reality, all of us have to understand that this is how we work. This is our heart. If you keep it simple, living by faith, and operating in the promises of God and seeing the promises of God given to us by grace becomes a reality more and more in our lives. And we learn to see how our heart works together and learn to let this happen. Learn to let this work together. When I choose or make a choice for my life, my will carries me forward. This is all based on the information we have and the strength of conviction or belief in us. Our will is the follow-through of our choices. Our will is the traction or the action of our choices, our decisions. Again, it is how my faith is displayed through my works. James 1 verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Be doers of the word, not hearers only. That is where our choices work with our will to propel us into what we have a strong conviction in based on what we've accepted in our minds. I keep repeating this because it's really important that we know and understand how this works. If you don't know what makes your heart tick, and I don't mean the natural one, if you don't know what makes your spiritual heart tick, again, this is all in the brain. It's not in your core. It's in your brain. This is where it takes place. But if you don't understand this, it gets all mixed up. And we operate out of one or another more dominantly, and then we can't figure out why we're not seeing the things that God has promised transpire. In order to clear up any confusion, I want these three points before we close up. There is a want to in us, and there is a will to do in us. Again, remember, we make choices, and then our will propels us forward. Our firm determination. There is a want to and a will to do. The want to and the will to do are two different things. If you know Smith Wigglesworth or you've read Smith Wigglesworth was a man of God who, man of faith, who saw incredible things. This is the 1940s. And Smith Wigglesworth had a strong will. Had a strong will. And we kind of, you know, a lot of us kind of envy him because we want to see the supernatural. But what he did was he paid the price to strengthen his will, to line up with his feelings, to line up with what was in his mind. He didn't allow anything in his house that was contrary to the word. Somebody couldn't bring a newspaper in. Only the word of God. Well, man, that's too much. That was his choice. That propelled his will. It built his feelings, the information. It went through his choices into his will, and he saw things that most of us would only dream of. We'd think, oh my gosh, incredible supernatural manifestations of the things of God. That's why he believed God. That's why he saw what he did. Okay, he didn't just have the want to. He had the will to do. If our choice is only a want to without the firm determination, then our will can't get behind it. And in reality, we're double-minded. Double-minded is two opinions. If you have two opinions about something that God has said, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's this, then guess what? You're double-minded. That's all. Narrow it down to one opinion. Either you accept what he says or you don't. One or the other. That is the first thing. Again, this is understanding what makes our heart tick. There are times that we all lose traction. Our will just gets, we get weak, we get weary, and our will just said, man, I'm done. I'm done. I want to quit. I feel like stopping. Or you fall to the wayside and you say, wow. Well, happens to most people. Our choices get dim. We get up and we keep going. We get our traction, our footing again through our will, and we keep going. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For a righteous man or woman may fall seven times and rise again." We might fall and we might stumble, but you know what? You get back up and you keep going. You get back up and you keep going. And you get back up and you keep going. And you're going to grow and you're going to get stronger. And you are going to go. And you are going to go through into what God has for you. Number three of some of the confusing stuff about walking this through with our will and our choices is that we have to allow the Lord to redirect our will if we're off. Sometimes, you know what? Our will, let's call it stubbornness. I don't mean in a prideful way, but stubbornness, a firm determination. We're going some way that it just is not God. It just isn't. We think it might be. So we're purposing, we're determined to go this way. We're resolved. I'm going this way. This is my choice. And we go, the Lord's saying to us, trying to get through to us in his word or through the Holy Spirit, whoa, whoa. I'm trying to get your attention. I want to redirect you a little bit because you're heading off. We have to be open and allow the Lord to do this and turn our will so it really matches where he wants us to go, what he has for us. We do get off sometimes. James 4, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. That's submitting our will to him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The enemy, you know, loves to twist and pervert and take us in a wrong path. I am out of time. How do you choose well? And how do you strengthen your will for your heart? Choosing well and strengthening your will. Because the will does get strengthened. It isn't something that just happens. And the choices that we make, how do you know when they're right or wrong? Number one, at all cost. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. At all cost, protect your mind. Whatever you're feeding on, if it ain't good, it ain't God. Amen. Really. Some of us watch things on the internet or television or whatever it might be, whatever it means it might be. We're seeing, we're hearing, we're sensing, we're feeling stuff that it ain't good. And again, if it ain't good, it ain't God. Protect, you're not protecting your mind. Because your mind is the open door to your whole heart. Period. You can make a choice to stop. Number two, choose only things that are life for you. Is it life or is it death? Is this going to help me and bless me, encourage me, build me up? Is this going to take me into the promises of God? Is this going to draw me near to him? Or is it going to kill me? Really? Is it going to take away? Is it going to destroy me? But it's only for a moment. Is it life or is it death? We have to consciously choose this regularly. Because we're immersed in a culture that is full of death. Number three, strengthening your will. And this is what I want to wrap. The way you strengthen your will is to discipline your body. That's it. And I want to talk about fasting. Ooh, I hate to fast. Then you don't want your will strengthened. Because denying your body and disciplining your body, and I don't have time to go into this, but disciplining your body will strengthen your will that propels you into the choices that you've made that have been built as a conviction in your feeling and have started in your mind as something that is fact. That's how this works. Stand with me. This is what it means to guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it spring all of the issues of life. Prayer team, come on up. If you need prayer today, you need to know Jesus, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, or you need an answer about something, would you please come and talk to one of these people today? They'll get it to you. They're full of faith. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks for this time, this day. Lord, thanks for taking care of us. We are blessed beyond measure. Thanks for making this all clear so that we understand what makes our heart tick and can live in the reality of a healed, healthy heart in you and go on into everything you have for us in this life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.